Hey everyone, my name is Zach, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Well, amen, man. I'm going to have a hard time preaching after that video, right? That was incredible, encouraging. There's a whole message just in there. But welcome, guys. Thank you for being here this morning. My name is Pastor Phil. I am our gathering pastor and young adult pastor here at the River Church. I hope that you all had just an amazing Christmas. Amazing time, hopefully some great time with family, hopefully just some good food, some fun presents. I know that I've only almost died a few times to the Legos that are all over my floor at my house. Any parents in here know the pain of finding the Lego with your foot in the middle of the night, but they're doing a pretty good job of cleaning them up and getting the sets put together. I don't know about you. I had a lot of dessert. I always laugh. Pastor Jason's always up here talking about exercise and CrossFit, and I'm like, I'm going to open up with a mention of Christmas dessert and Christmas dinner. But I think, man, it's amazing just getting to be here and worship alongside of you guys. Many times I'm up here leading the music, but just to be able to sit off to the side and just be encouraged this morning already by our music and just get refocused and wake me up, and I am ready to go. So I hope that you guys are too. If at any point you need to stand up and stretch a little or something, don't worry. All right, I won't call you out or anything. So feel free to move around if you need to this morning. But Christmas is here, as the video said, right? Christmas has come and Christmas has passed, and we are in this unique time in our schedule where it seems like a lot of the world shuts down a little bit. All the anticipation, all the build-up to Christmas morning and celebration of Jesus being born, and then the next days happen. And it kind of left me feeling like, so now what? As I was preparing the sermon today, that thought of now what? All the expectation, all the anticipation, it's over. Christmas has come and gone, and now we are in this in-between. And it got me thinking on this thought of the baby is here. Now what, right? Christmas Eve, it's all this anticipation of Jesus being born, and we celebrate that. And now that he is here, now what? I was thinking back to the birth of my children. I have three beautiful children God has blessed us with, and I remember being a dad, especially with that first baby, after all the craziness, the buildup of the birth, and the chaos of the doctors and the nurses and everything, and then at some point, they all kind of slip away, and I remember being there holding this child thinking, now what, right? Like, I'm supposed to take this thing home? Like, you can't trust me with this baby? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. My wife, she knows, right? She's got it, but, like, don't she need to send somebody home with me to keep an eye on me? Like, I don't know what I am doing, right? Now what? And working through this thought led me to just this incredible passage in Luke 2, the second half of Luke 2, in verse 25, on the story of Simeon. So initially, a few weeks ago, when I was preparing this sermon, and I was reading through this, I feel like the Lord really brought me here, and one of the thoughts I had was, you know, everybody always preaches on Luke 2, the birth of Jesus, and many times they stop there at Luke 2, and the second half of this passage just gets ignored. I don't hear it preached on very often. That was until last Sunday when Pastor Jason preached on it, and we did not communicate very well, but luckily the Lord kept our messages different enough. So he really focused on Simeon's message to Mary, and reading through this passage, I was just struck by the life of Simeon and who he was, and I want to look at together today what we can learn from the life of Simeon and his relationship with the Lord and how we can apply that to our life, right now that the baby is here. So I would love to read with us this morning, starting in Luke 2, verse 25. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. So here we see, and if you were here last Sunday, Pastor Jason talked about this a little bit, but we see Mary and Joseph coming to the temple to make their sacrifice to the Lord, following the Jewish customs that when that baby was born, you had to come to the temple and make your offering. And we meet a man named Simeon here. Simeon was promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not pass away, that he would not depart, that he would not die until he met the Messiah. Such an incredible promise that he was given. And when we look at this story, the question is, what can we learn together to apply to our own lives today? Simeon, I want to look at a few different things here together. We want to look at today how he remained faithful as he waited for Jesus, how he recognized Jesus when he showed up, and how he released his plan for his life to Christ. So if you're a note taker, right, you could write down that he remained, that he recognized, and that he released, all right? So I'm going a little Baptist on you guys today with the three R's, but we can remember those together today. So I want to look at how, and Simeon just gave us this incredible example of what it looks like in our life as we wait for the Lord to show up in our circumstances, as he arrives in our life, and what our response should be. So would you pray with me together today, and then we will dive into this. Dear Lord, we love you. We just thank you for today. I thank you for this opportunity to be with you, Lord, to study your word together, to be with each person in here, Lord. Thank you for bringing them here safely today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me, Lord, that my words today would be from you, that you would just soften all of our hearts, Lord, to become more like you as we study your word and as we look at just the example that your word has given us, Lord, on how our lives change when the baby shows up, when you show up, Lord. And we love you. We ask all of this in your holy and your precious name. Amen. So the first part I want to look at is, first of all, how incredible it was. We can glance over some of these sometimes. How incredible it was that the Holy Spirit had given Simeon this promise that he would meet the Messiah before he died. The Holy Spirit was different in the Old Testament before Jesus was born and died and resurrected. Now, all believers, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living, dwelling inside of you. Back in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and descend on different people at different times, speaking to them, empowering them, and then would leave as well. So we see Simeon here. Scripture describes him in Luke 2:25. It says that he was righteous and devout. What an incredible way for Scripture to describe you. I hope that one day, right, I can be described by the Lord as righteous and devout. But it was this righteousness, how devout he was, the Scripture that I believe allowed him to have this relationship with the Holy Spirit, to hear from the Holy Spirit, to be given this promise in the first place. So at some point, we don't know how old he was when he received this promise. All we know is that he was told that he would not pass away until he had met the Messiah. So at some point in his life, the Holy Spirit gives him this promise, and then he waits. Sticking with the theme of the baby is here, I was thinking about just that time as we prep as parents for a newborn child, right? At some point, you get told, you know, hey, you're pregnant. You find out that the big exciting day of pregnancy and that the child is going to be coming, and you're given this date, you know, 9 months in the future, this date that they do their best to guess is going to be the day when the baby is born, and you're given this promise of something that's going to happen in the future, and then you wait. I remember myself waiting trying to, you know, prepare, baby-proof the house, preparing the nursery, being a good husband and attending birth classes with my wife, which is like one of the toughest things, you know, us men will ever do. but going to all of these things together and preparing and knowing that this date was coming, and my wife, she overcooks all of our babies. They were all about 2 to 3 weeks late. So we at one point thought, you know what, Lord, maybe this isn't going to happen. Maybe she's just going to be pregnant forever and these babies are never going to be born. But we trusted, right, and looked forward and prepared to this promise that had been given to us. And I think of Simeon waiting on Jesus to show up, being given this promise by the Holy Spirit that he was going to meet this child. And during that, he stayed faithful to God, trusting in his promise. You know, if he would have, fallen away from his relationship with the Lord, if he would have fallen away from the faith during that time of waiting, I don't believe that Scripture would have described him as righteous and devout. Psalm 130, verse 5 says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope." Simeon would have known the Old Testament scriptures. That's the only way he would have known that there was this promise of a Messiah to come. And we see here that this verse in Psalm tells us, in his word, I hope. All right, my challenge to us today is to remain faithful and grounded in the word of God as we wait for Jesus to show up in our circumstances. Simeon's hope, it wasn't based on just his thoughts and his feelings and the circumstances around him, but it was based on the word of God, the written word and the word that he had received from the Holy Spirit. His waiting didn't weaken his faith, but it revealed the faith that he had. Many of you, you're waiting on Jesus to show up in your life in a certain way. I don't know every circumstance in here, but I do know some. I know people struggle with many different things, are battling many different things. We all have different circumstances that we are praying to the Lord to work in the midst of. And I know some of you, you're waiting for a good health report. Maybe you're waiting for that positive pregnancy test, that breakthrough with your kids or your family. And as we wait for our answer, we need to remain faithful to Jesus in this time of waiting. But how do we do this? And like I said, we ground ourselves in his word and we ground ourselves in his people. I want to read Romans 15:4 for us. It says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Here we see that learning the word of God, knowing these things that he has written for us, right, these things empower us through the Spirit to have endurance in our hope and faith. Right? Like I said, we're all struggling with something. We're all working through something where maybe we're praying, you know, Jesus, will you please work in this way? Will you please move in this way? Will you please show up? And as we're waiting, we look to Scripture, the promises that Christ has given us there, and that gives us this hope in Jesus. Simeon would have found comfort in the scriptures, knowing that this comfort of Israel or consolation of Israel, as scripture describes Jesus as, he would have known that this was coming, that this promise was given. So maybe God hasn't showed up yet for you in the way that you're thinking he would. Maybe he hasn't provided in the way that you thought he would. Maybe he hasn't given you what you thought he would, but you need to stay faithful in your waiting. And it's his word that grounds us to that truth of what scripture really teaches. You know, you may take time and study this thing, right? Have your Bible, spend time reading it, studying it, praying through it. And you might realize that the thing that you've been praying for, the thing that you've been asking the Lord to do, that it isn't even biblical, right? You go and you read this and you go, oh, no wonder God hasn't answered my prayer yet. No wonder God hasn't showed up in this way, because what I'm asking him for is contrary to his will. I promise you that God, he will never work in a way contrary to what his word teaches. I would warn you, watch out for people who try to tell you that God is going to do something in your life, work in a certain way that goes against what Scripture says. We need to run from those people and everything. We need to measure everything up against the Word of God. Just in a few days, we'll be starting our Bible recap, Bible in a Year reading plan. So as a church, we challenged you guys last January to do this with us together, to read through it, and it was such an incredible time in my life, reading through the Word of God in a year with a group of people. I've obviously done many reading plans, but I had never done a reading plan like this in conjunction with other people in community. And it was such an incredible thing to be able to read the daily reading and then run across somebody from the church and go, you know, man, did you read the scripture today? Did you read that passage? Like, that was crazy. I never heard that before, or I forgot about that part, or what did you think that meant? You know, and to know that so many of our church was reading through that together was such an encouragement. But can I challenge you, if you didn't do it with us, this is a great time to start. January 1st, we can do it again. Don't let whatever happened last time to cause you to fall off, to cause you to not do it, don't let that discourage you. But start new this year. Pick it up with us, and I promise that as you read through the Word of God, cover to cover like that, with other people, that it will change your life. And as you learn His Word, you listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, He'll convict you of sin. He'll guide and direct your path. He's going to show you how He's moving, show you how He's working, and anchor you in the promises of His Scripture so that as you wait for that answer to prayer in your circumstance, that you can be encouraged by who Christ is. Another way to remain faithful to the Lord through while waiting on Him to move is through the help of the church, or a growth community. This is another time, a great plug. We're talking about January 1st coming up. Great time to get plugged in to a growth community. If you don't have one, if you don't know even what I'm talking about, please come find me after. I'd love to show you how to do the Bible reading plan with us, how to find a growth community that you can connect with. But God has given us His church, His people, to encourage us. I can imagine Simeon arriving in the temple day by day with this thought of the promise from the Holy Spirit that he was going to meet the Messiah. And he might have had some tough days where it felt like, man, I don't know when this is going to happen, if this is going to happen, like I'm getting older, I can't wait anymore. And there would have been people in the temple that he would have known that hopefully encouraged him, pointed him back to Scripture, pointed him back to the truth of God's Word so that he, each and every day, could continue to trust God that this promise was going to be fulfilled. I want to read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 for us. It says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the day more as you see the day drawing near." Here's Scripture encouraging us to be together, church. I understand, right, this morning, a little icy. I applaud you guys for making it out here and doing it. And sometimes there are legitimate reasons to miss being together, but many times we can let Satan sneak in and convince us that we don't need each other, especially as we are feeling discouraged about circumstances in our life when things aren't working out the way that we thought they would, or we feel like God's not moving or working the way that we thought He would. It's easy to go, you know what? I don't need those people today, right? I don't need God's church today. I'm just going to stay home. And we fall into this, you know, feeling sorry for ourselves and starting to believe lies from the enemy. But when we are together, we can be encouraged to remain faithful in the waiting as we wait for Jesus to show up, just like Simeon was waiting for Jesus to show up. I've had many people in my life, godly Christian people, help me figure out what the Lord was trying to teach me in a circumstance. Help me figure out if God was telling me yes, a no, or a not yet to a prayer that I was praying to Him as I'm looking for a resolution to a circumstance in my life. It was them who was able to encourage me to continue to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord and remain faithful to Him. So can I challenge you in the same way that Simeon remained faithful and devout to God while he waited for Jesus to show up. My challenge is for you to remain faithful to God as you wait for Jesus to work in a circumstance in your life. Right? Don't be discouraged. Don't fall away from him. Continue to ground yourself in the truth of his scripture. Continue to ground yourself in the encouragement of the church around you. Simeon, such an incredible example of remaining faithful, waiting on the promise. And while he waited, then Jesus shows up and he recognizes Jesus. And it's such an incredible scripture here. In verse 28, it says, he took him up in his arms. He grabs Jesus and he blesses God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So this holiday season, I don't know about you guys, but my family, we love to play games. We're a big board game family, a big group game, you know, family. And any chance we have to play something like Settlers of Catan, if you know what that is and you want to play, just let me know. All right, we'll figure out a time. Settlers of Catan, you know, Fishbowl, Uno, all these classics. But there's one game that stands out to me from my past, and it's the game of spoons. All right, how many of you guys know the game of spoons, right? All right, I see some of you guys, you're like, you're ready to go. Okay, we can play later as well. But spoons is this incredible, chaotic game where you have a certain amount of spoons on the table, one less spoon than people around the table, and you start passing the cards, and once somebody gets four of a kind, they can grab for that first spoon. And after they grab for it, then it's a free-for-all, and everybody goes in and starts grabbing, and that's where the scratching and the clawing happens and the ruining of the kitchen table. I think I've gotten in trouble a few times for that, you know, some new dents in the table from grabbing at it. But it's such a fun game and a fun just game to play around this time of year when you're spending more time with family and friends. One of my favorite things that happen in that game is when you're looking, trying to get your card, you're trying to get your four of a kind. And I've done this, I'm guilty of this. I'm so focused on getting that fourth card that I completely miss when somebody had grabbed the spoon. And once they grab it, right, I could go and I could get it, but I'm so locked in to figuring this out on my own. I'm like, I got this, I need one more ace here. And all the spoons are gone, and then I'm out of the game, right? But I was thinking about this, it's a silly illustration, I know, but like I said, we like board games. And but I was thinking about this in the fact that, right, I can miss what's happening right in front of me because I'm so focused on trying to accomplish something myself. I think of the people in the temple there with Simeon. They would have been busy about their sacrifices, going and coming and buying and selling, all these things that they did there, and here comes Jesus. And I think many of them missed it, right? They missed that Jesus was right there, but Simeon, he recognized through the power of the Holy Spirit that it was Jesus there. We can become so distracted trying to solve our own problems, right? Fix our own issues, bring ourselves peace, bring ourselves comfort that we completely miss Jesus in the middle of our circumstance doing those things for us. He's right there, and we can be so focused on something else that we completely miss it. Jesus, he's there in the small moments. I think of the Messiah coming as a baby, right? Not this big pomp and circumstance and, you know, no earthquake, no lightning. Him in the stable, in the quiet of the birth, no big spectacle. And he's there in the little moments. Can I encourage you, right? He's there in the encouragement of a family member. He's there in the encouragement of a friend. He's there in the words of the worship songs that we just sang earlier. Jesus is there in the joy of your family board game night, in the middle of your friend hangout as you guys are talking about Christ. Jesus is there in those little moments. Don't miss him. Don't be looking for something big and grand that you completely miss the encouragement that he is bringing to you. 1 Kings 19, one of my favorite stories in all of scripture, starting in verse 11, it says, and he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by And a great and strong wind tore the mountain and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Here we see all of these huge things happening, the fire, the rocks, the wind, yet God was there in the still, small voice. We can always fall in that temptation of looking for something huge, right? God, if you don't want me to take this job, I need you to write in lightning across the sky and, you know, close that business down so I know that that's not where I was supposed to go. When at that same time, he's trying to speak to you in that still small voice, and we just need to stop and listen to him and recognize that he is there. Don't miss him. Don't miss him. Like the people of the temple going about their business, so busy trying to take care of these things on their own that they missed Jesus. They missed him, that he was there. And even when you feel like maybe Jesus isn't working in your life in the way that you thought he would, look for how he's trying to grow and mature you while you go through your circumstance. I think of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." What a challenging, difficult verse to hear, right? Let us have joy in every trial, in every circumstance, but we can know and trust that God is doing something in our life during that, that he is making us to become perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Sometimes we have to go through these things to become who God wants us to be. Verse 28 just strikes me how Samuel grabs Jesus. We have to think that sometimes we can look at the Bible and think of it as almost like a textbook, you know, but this is a real living, breathing book with real accounts of real people. So I can imagine Simeon going and grabbing Jesus, and picture yourself as a Mary or Joseph. You're walking into the temple here to make your sacrifice, and this old man comes up and just takes your baby. Right, think about that for a minute. Like, this is a real thing that happened. I'm sure he didn't wash his hands before he touched the baby, right? Like we're all supposed to. Right? I don't know. Maybe, like, hopefully he didn't, like, kiss him on the forehead or anything. There's a lot of germs there as well. I can imagine Mary giving Joseph that look. Men, you guys know the look that I'm talking about that you get from your wife when it's like, you better do something about this right now, right? Like, this guy has my baby. I don't know what's going on. Like, you better go over there and get him. But here is Simeon, just so overcome by the promise being fulfilled in his life that he snatches up this baby and holds on to him, grabs him, and doesn't let go of him. Can I challenge you? Grab on to Jesus and don't let go. In your circumstance, whatever is going on in your life, cling to him, hold on to him tightly, rely on him, trust in him. Psalm 63, 7 through 8 says, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me." Don't be so busy working on finding your solution that you completely miss Jesus working in the problem. Some of you, you're looking for this huge thing, but Jesus has been there in every little moment. One of the most frustrating things I hear from people is when they say something like, "Well, that was lucky," or like, "Glad that worked out," or, you know, that was some good luck, instead of recognizing that it was Jesus Christ in the midst of it, working and moving in your life. He got you up this morning, right? Praise him for that. There was gas in your car and it started this morning. Praise him for that. There'll be food on your table later today. Praise him and thank him for that. Let's not be too busy looking for how we think God should provide or how we think God should work in our life that we completely miss him moving in the midst of our life. The last thing that I want to look at together today is how Simeon, after he recognized Jesus, that Jesus had come into his life, Simeon willingly released the plan that he had for his life. Again, looking at Luke 2, verse 29, it says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." At some point, like we said, we don't know when, but at some point, the Holy Spirit came to Simeon and told him that he was not going to pass away until he met the Messiah. This changed the direction of Simeon's life, yet he willingly embraced the plan that God had for him and released whatever his own plan would have been for his own life. And then again, here in this verse, we see that after he meets Simeon, he again willingly releases his life, as he says, basically, he's saying, "God, whatever you want to do with me now, it's up to you. I've met the Messiah. What you have promised for my life has been fulfilled. Again, I release my life to you. Whatever you want to do, Lord." And he releases this grip on the plan that he thought he would have. I want to say, I know releasing your plan on your life, it's not an easy thing. We can hold so tightly onto what we thought our life would look like, what we thought the Lord was going to do. I could tell you story after story of my own life of struggling with this, releasing this control. One thing I thought of was, not everybody knows, but I grew up going to this church. I was here at a young age, and many years ago, I interned here, and it was a great time, and we had a 10 a.m. gathering that I led worship for, and I was finishing up college. I was about to get married all in the same summer and was going to be looking for a job, and I had my sights set on working here. Right? I interned here. I had been here for a long time. And I remember the day when Pastor Ernesto at the time sat me down and, you know, said, "Hey, we already have, Mark Kerr is here. Mark Kerr is on staff as our worship pastor, and we don't have the funds to have two people on staff for this position, so we're not going to be able to offer you a job here." And my plans for what I thought was going to be happening after I graduated slowly, right, disintegrated in front of me. And I remember sitting down with my wife, and we were planning on getting married that June, and we're trying to figure out, where am I going to work? Like, what am I going to do? Ministry was what I thought the Lord had for me. And we started to kind of cast a wider net, connect with some people that we knew out of state, and just gave it to the Lord. We're like, "God, whatever you want to do, like, that's where we want to be." And I remember that next Sunday getting a job offer at what is now our Grand Blanc location. So at the time, it was the Point Church, and a man that worked there approached me and said, "Hey, we're starting a new church up in Grand Blanc. We're going to be meeting at the movie theater. Like, would you be interested in being our music director for that?" And it was a big leap for us. We didn't know anybody out there. I never really spent any time up in Grand Blanc. Now it's like, it's just a little ways up the freeway. But back then, it felt like this big leap for our family leaving here. But we left and had some incredible years there. That church is just so near and dear to me. And at about 2015, that church, we merged all together and became the River, which was a really cool time to get to come back together with a lot of people that I knew on staff. And we spent time there. And then about end of 2018, we felt the Lord pushing us in another direction again. And it was another time where I felt like, no, like, this is what you have for me, God. Like, I'm holding on to this tightly. This is the job that you've provided for me. I love serving with these people. And he led my wife and I out of ministry for a year. We spent all of 2019 out of full-time ministry, just serving at the Grand Blanc location, being a part of the team there, but working in a construction job and working for my dad, and just out there every day. And the Lord was moving and working in our life in this strange way. We didn't really know what he was doing. And then end of 2019 comes, and again, we feel the Lord very clearly tell us, all right, it's time to head back into full-time ministry. And I remember making the phone call to Pastor Chuck and just letting him know, hey, I'm not looking for my old job back, but I feel like the Lord has used this year of our life to show to us that this is where we're supposed to be, that full-time ministry is what we're supposed to do. And, you know, he goes, hey, we'll try to figure something out. You know, we'd love to have you back. And I'll never forget, many of you know, right, end of 2019 means 2020 is coming. And a lot of the world was turned upside down during that time. And I had accepted a position to go to our Davison location. We have a location up in Davison at the time. It was like the job they kind of put together. And like, hey, Phil, we could give you this if you'd be interested. And Mary and I prayed and prayed and prayed about it. And we're like, okay, this is going to be different. It's going to be a new church again, different people. But Lord, like, if this is what you have for us, you know, we'll take it. In 2020, we leave for a cruise. Not a great time to go on a cruise, okay? So we're gone, right, as everything is happening with COVID and the world is changing. And I remember getting a couple phone calls from some staff here going, hey, Phil, when do you get back? Nothing big. Just, you know, give us a call when you get back. And I'm like halfway through my vacation thinking, oh boy, like what's going on now, Lord? Like, what are you doing now? Again, I had this idea, this plan for my life. And I remember landing back in Detroit and getting the phone call that, hey, the job for the Davison location was not happening anymore. And I had already left work with my dad. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And the next sentence is, but our worship leader at the Waterford location, him and his family are moving. Would you be interested in that position? And that's how I ended up here. So in these moments of holding on to my plan for my own life, the Lord's going, nope, you got to release it. You got to let it go. You got to be willing to do what I have for you. And that's the whole of the Christmas story, right, is people releasing the control that they thought they would have on their life. Mary, I'm sure, wasn't planning on having her first child in this way. Joseph, I'm sure, wasn't planning on his marriage looking like this. And even after he followed the Lord and obeyed, they had to flee to Egypt. I'm sure that wasn't part of the plan. I think of even Jesus in Matthew 26, as he respectfully asks the Father if there would be any way for the cup of suffering to pass from him. And of course, that answer was no, and he willingly released, right, his plan for his life and went to that cross for us. And I challenge you, meeting Jesus doesn't just add meaning to our life, it redefines our purpose. We can be so tempted just to sprinkle Jesus on to different parts of our life to try to make it a little bit better, but that is not how it works. True faith should change our approach to every hour in the day. Jesus didn't die on the cross for our sins just so we could come here on a Sunday and give him 1 hour of our week, right? 1 hour that is even distracted within this hour, right? We have a hard time, and I'm guilty of this too, even focusing for 1 hour, yet Christ has called us to give him every moment, every waking moment of our life to him. I think of the disciples being called away from their jobs, from their lives, to follow Christ. Matthew 4:18 through 22 says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father. Mending their nets, he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Right, this isn't to say they didn't have any doubts, they didn't have any struggles along the way, but here they are leaving these jobs that they had, leaving the plans that they had for their life to follow Christ. Don't ask what you want for your life. Ask what Jesus wants for your life. What does he want to do with your life? Can I give you some more encouragement? Right? This is what Christ wants our lives to look like. He wants us to be more like him each and every day. I think of him sometimes as a big dad that just wants his kids, you and I, to like the things that he likes, to do the things that he does. He wants you to share his truth with others. He wants us to love God and love people. This is what we're called to do in our life. Serve him, be a light for him wherever God has placed you. You know, maybe today you would acknowledge that you are not a believer. A lot of what I'm talking about just doesn't make total sense to you. You feel like, you know, I've never given my life to Christ. I've never released that control of my life to him. I pray today will be the day that you release that plan of your life to him and let Jesus take over your story. I promise the ending is way better when we let him write it than whatever we can come up with, whatever we try to do. You know, maybe you're a Christian, but there are certain parts of your life that you are holding on to that you're refusing to let go. Maybe in your own life, or maybe it's a family member. Maybe you had visions for what your child's life would look like, and the Lord is taking them in a different direction. You had plans for what your parents' life was going to look like, and the Lord is taking them in a different direction. I pray today that you can release that control, that you can let the Lord move and work how he wants to move and work in your life. Some of you, you've been faithful believers for a long time, such an encouragement and a testament to us who are younger, just struggling through the faith, you know, to follow the Lord. It's believed that Simeon was an old man when he met Jesus, but this encounter with the Savior, it brought fresh awe and wonder into his life. Maybe that's what you need today. You need fresh awe of the Lord, not a new truth. You know these things, but you need to let it soften your heart again. Jesus is here. The baby is here in our life, and he's standing at the door knocking. I want to read Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Jesus is there knocking on the door to your life. He knocks for many reasons. For those that don't know him, he's knocking, asking if you would let him into your life for salvation. For those that know him, right, he may be knocking for more fellowship with you. He wants to spend more time with you, get to know you more, wants you to spend more time in his word. Romans 10, 9 through 10, such an incredible verse about how we can be saved. It says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." This reminder that we all have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standard, yet he sent his son to be born as a child, to grow up, to die on the cross, and to be raised again and resurrected so that we could have the forgiveness of our sins. If you don't know him today, I pray today would be the day that you confess him with your mouth and confess that he is Lord. Simeon, this passage of scripture, like I said, when I first read it, it just brought tears to my eyes thinking of this man having this promise to meet the Messiah, that one day he would come to know him, that he remained faithful to God as he waited on this promise, that he recognized Jesus was moving and that he released the control of his life to the Lord. I hope that today we can take that challenge and that we can leave here changed and leave here more like Christ. The baby is here, and when he arrives, he changes everything. Let's pray together this morning. Dear Lord, we love you. We just thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to be together, to study your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, remain faithful to you as we wait on your moving, on your working, Lord, that we would recognize what you're doing in our life each and every day, and that we would give control of it to you, God. I thank you for just what you're doing in the hearts of the people here, Lord, how you're using each person to further your gospel, to further your kingdom, Lord. I pray that today we would look more like you, Jesus. We love you. We ask all of this, Lord, in your holy and your precious name. Amen.